Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the
2007
NFL
season. Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
All right, here we go. Buckle up. We're ready to roll. Pats and Giants coming up on Saturday. Can we play now? Would that be a good thing? I kind of think so. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. Playbook for a Thursday, which means that we'll get into head coach Bill Belichick in a little bit. We'll also hear from Giants head coach Tom Coughlin coming up shortly. We also have interviews from the Patriots locker room for you today and Russell Baxter, ESPN, their NFL research coordinator, who joins us on Thursdays throughout the course of the season. He will join us again today as well. So all that is on the agenda. A lot of emails to get to. Some of them that we obviously didn't get to from PFW, which will continue. But what I would like from you, at least off the top of the program here today, is to let me know what you think about the game. Normally on Thursdays, we ask you for your score predictions, and certainly that is appropriate here. So we want you to predict the game for Saturday night, what you think is going to transpire. But, you know, we've been talking about it all week. It certainly, I think, stands to reason that we should continue that today for those that may be just tuning in or didn't get a part of the program yesterday as well, because it's been a bit of a short week for us here with the Christmas holiday. And, by the way, I guess we can officially now start saying Happy New Year, since that's the next holiday to come up next Tuesday. But rest him or play him. Pretty simple. We talked about this a lot yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to chime in on that, I certainly would like for you to do so. All indications are that, you know, at least the Giants, to start the game on Saturday, are going to play him. Now, we don't know how long that's going to be. To me, there's really little argument for the Patriots resting their players because they do have the bye week the week after. So, in effect, they'll end up having almost 2 weeks off before, 2 weeks of rest before they would have to go back out on the field and compete again. I can understand, though, that if the Patriots, first of all, if Tom Brady and Randy Moss, more specifically, set their records in the first half, the Patriots have, say, you know, a couple of touchdown lead or so at halftime, I could see the Patriots not bringing them out to start the second half. I could see that. If the game is still a one-possession game, yeah, I realize you don't like that, Tom, but I think, you know, it's probably not a decision that you're going to make, I would think. I could see that if it was still a one-possession football game, that, quite frankly, they'd probably come out and start the second half. The Giants a little less so. Consider the plight of the Giants. I mean, here they are, 10-5 coming in. They're a sub-500 team at home. They've been great on the road. They've been terrible at home. They're 3-4 at home. So because of that, you know, they're playing at home here on Saturday night. A lot of their season ticket holders have given up on them. In other words, they've sold their tickets, or they're still in the process of trying to sell their tickets because they don't think, A, the Giants can win, B, because the Giants are lousy at home, and C, because the game means nothing. Well, I mean, it means a little something. It means momentum, maybe. But Giants have been more of a road team this year, you know, than a home team anyway. And this game cannot improve, nor can it worsen their status. They are locked into the number 5 slot in the NFC, which we've talked about. So they're going to play in the opening round at Tampa Bay. That's a game they can probably win, especially if they don't bang themselves up further. That's a game that the Giants should be pretty competitive, pretty competitive. So how much do you risk putting it all out there on the field against a New England Patriots team that could still end up flicking you like a flea off a dog's back? Is the chance to become notorious lure enough to play? You know, for instance, I think we all realize, again, when you go back to the last great team to have perhaps played in the National Football League, what was the last great team that played? I think most people, not everyone, But most people would come up with the 1985 Chicago Bears. Right? Okay? Might be a stretch. I mean, there's some good teams in the 90s, obviously. Some of those Cowboy teams are pretty good. A couple of Niners teams are obviously pretty good as well. But the last great team, universally great team, has to be the 85 Bears. In fact, the 85 Bears are considered by many to be the greatest team of all time in NFL history. With all due respect to those 72 Dolphins, the Bears did not go undefeated. They went 15-1. Ironically, they lost that year to Miami. But we remember who beat that Bears team in 85. We know we didn't. Everybody remembers, unfortunately, Super Bowl 20 where that's concerned. But we do remember, do we not, who beat them that year? Yes, well, that's what I just said. Fact is that, you recall that it was the Miami Dolphins who won that game. So lost my train of thought here. A little distracted here. Sorry about that. The New York Giants, do they want to be considered the Miami Dolphins of 1985? Can they be considered the Miami Dolphins of that year? Is that enough for them? I guess maybe it depends on how competitive they might end up becoming in their upcoming playoffs, to be honest with you. I mean, there's really a couple of different ways to look at it. Bottom line is that enough for the New York Giants? We'll remember the fact that the 07 Patriots were a great football team, but that they went all the way to the last week before they finally lost one. Now, ultimately, the Patriots could still be considered one of the greatest teams of all time, even if they lose on Saturday night to the Giants. But then I personally believe they would probably have to go in and wipe the floor in the Super Bowl of whoever ends up winning in the NFC, whether it's Dallas or Green Bay or the Giants or whomever it might end up being. Kind of like what the Bears did to the Patriots in Super Bowl 20 to be considered really potentially the greatest team of all time. Because you could be a very good team, but you didn't win them all. And so this is where I think, frankly, the 1972 Dolphins still need to be considered the greatest team of all time, even over the 85 Bears. Now, you may say, oh, that's ridiculous. Clearly, the 85 Bears were a physically talented more team than what the 72 Dolphins were. Oh, you know, I'm not going to argue that. I really won't argue that relative merits. First of all, they played 13 years apart. So certainly, if you match the teams up, the 85 Bears would be physically superior to the 72 Dolphins. Not as much as maybe we'd have a little bit of a difference between now and the 72 Dolphins, but I understand where you're coming from. However, fact is the Dolphins accomplished something that had never been accomplished before and to this point in time has not yet been accomplished again. So I have to put, in my own personal little, you know, pecking order, 72 Miami, 85 Chicago, 1-2. And for the Patriots to crack that top two, number one, they need to win. They need to win Saturday, and yes, they need to win out in the playoffs. Anything short of a Super Bowl championship, the Patriots will not be and probably should not be considered one of the great teams of all time. You could certainly call them a very good team, and they could probably go down as one of the best teams to never have won a championship, but do you really want to go down that way? Now, see, I didn't think so. And so you can see now from a self-motivating point of view, quite frankly, how much work this Patriots team still has to do, how much they still have to go, how important it is for them to continue this 16-game mini season, you know, each game being a mini season upon itself, one game at a time for 16 games, 16 different little mini seasons. And that kind of an attitude has worked to this point in time. There's no reason to stray from it. And so when it comes to the question of should the Patriots rest or should they play, well, then I think you pretty much answered your own question. Obviously, they're going to play. They're going to play to win.
Hello, you play to win the game.
Thank you. Thank you, Herm. And you're absolutely right about that. You play to win the game. Maybe the Giants less so because there's more to play after the fact. But for the Patriots, they have to play this like they've played the other 15, regardless of the fact they have a week off the week after. Injuries happen in football. You have to play. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think the Patriots won't rest somebody. If they get up in this game and we get into the second half and they're two or three scores ahead, yeah, I think you'll see some guys come out. I do. I believe that. I don't think you'll see, well, I don't know. I mean, I know that we talked to Kyle Brady in the locker room today, but I'm not sure you'll see either him or Benjamin Watson out on the field on Saturday. Unless they were already close to 100%. Ready to go last week, you won't see them at all this week. So the Patriots then would have to continue with some of the four and five wide packages that they've gone with without tight ends, which does make it a little tougher in the running game. A little tougher. I think the Giants are definitely going to come after them. I think you're going to see, obviously, Michael Strahan and OCU Manura. You're going to come after, you know, Tom Brady because they realize that the only chance that they have is to put as much pressure on Tom as they possibly can. Last week, the Dolphins put as much pressure as anybody has put on Brady all year long. The only other team to come close to hitting Brady the number of times that Miami hit him last week was Baltimore. So I think that the pressure is going to be a given. But if the pressure is going to come, then I think you'll see. At least it seems to me less so dependent upon trying to throw into double and triple coverage to Randy Moss down deep. You probably see that once or twice, just to make sure that they stretch the field and hope that maybe he can grab one. But this is going to be a huge game for Wes Welker, as I think we all anticipate his breaking Troy Brown's single season record for receptions by a Patriot receiver, going over the 101. So I think that record should fall. I think most everybody anticipates both Tom and Randy to break the touchdown records, respectively, that they are upon, with both needing two touchdowns to pass Peyton Manning and Jerry Rice, respectively. Patriots need 6 points to surpass the 98 Minnesota Vikings as the highest scoring team all time in NFL history. So these are all records that I think most everybody anticipates falling on Saturday. But what does it mean? What does it mean if they don't win? What does it mean if they don't win in the playoffs? It really doesn't mean anything. It means that this was a very good team which ultimately spit the bit. And I don't think anybody down the hallway here wants to see that. I don't think anybody in Patriots Nation wants to see that. And so considering whether or not to rest or to play obviously should be a moot point, at least from a Patriots perspective. You've got to play the game, regardless of what the Giants do. But if the Giants start sitting, guys, and the Giants pretty much roll up the white flag on this thing, well, then I think you have to consider yourself rolling up the white flag and letting some guys sit. But I think that's the only scenario in which that could potentially happen. I'd love your thoughts on that. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Again, area code 508-543-7482. That's the number you can use to call us. Patriots are already the highest gaining team in total offense in franchise history. Got a chance to surpass, you know, maybe upwards of 6,500 yards. Number one in the NFL in yards per game average. Number one in pass offense. They're 12th in rush offense, so they've improved a little bit. They've actually been in the top 10 most of the season in spite of last week's performance by Lawrence Maroney. Yep. Giants are not horrible. They're 6th in the rush offense, 17th in pass offense. They're 17th overall in total offense. They certainly have been up and down and lately down in the passing offense where Eli Manning is concerned. You know, the Patriots should be able to play their base defense and present enough trouble for Eli where as long as there's pressure up front, I don't think even a healthy Plexico Burress could do the damage that, you know, we're thinking. I'd say the Patriots really will have a tough time, I think, stopping a relatively healthy Brandon Jacobs. Jacobs is a power back like few others in the NFL with that size and the speed that he has. The ability to go between the tackles, the ability to turn the corner as well. We saw Ahmad Bradshaw as well have a superb game last week with a career-best 151. So the Giants' running game was superb. You know, and if I'm the Giants, knowing that you got to rest some guys, I'm almost torn a little bit. Thinking, well, the only real way that I think we have a chance to win this game would be to keep the ball out of the New England offense. So why do we do that? Well, we have to control the ball ourselves and control the clock and get a steady diet of Jacobs, and then maybe a little Bradshaw in there mixed in, and maybe some close passing game material. But then again, Eli Manning has lost Jeremy Shockey. Doesn't have him to throw to because of the broken leg he suffered a couple weeks ago. So I think it's going to be very tough for the Giants to really generate a lot of offense here, considering the fact they scored 38 against Buffalo. But I think in the previous 6 weeks prior to that, I don't think they had generated, but maybe I think it was less than 20 points a game. So if you feel like you can hold the Giants to, say, three scores-ish in that vicinity, say 17 to 20 points, you should be able to outscore the Giants and win the football game and get to 16-0, which, of course, is your ultimate goal. And then, of course, you have a week off to kind of decompress, consider a little what you've done, but I don't think you can rest on those laurels because then you've got three tough playoff games still to come. Fortunately for you, you have at least two of them at home, and then you can really start about creating and leaving your legacy. That's what I think is what everybody is now beginning to point toward. There are many of you undoubtedly that started talking about this 16-0 regular season back after week two or week three. So another thing that I kind of like from you today primarily is if you were one of those that stepped out on the limb and said, I think this team can win them all, I would like to hear from you today. And I want you to tell me, did this season transpire the way you thought it would play out? What surprised you about this year during the regular season? Where was the bump in the road? Did they avoid your potential bump in the road? Where was your bump in the road? What did you think of their performance along the way? This is a chance for you to pat yourself on the back, let me and let everybody else know that you had them pegged. You picked them. You said you were one of the first to step out and say, this team has the potential to go 16-0. Now, I realize they're not there yet. Maybe you don't want to jinx them. Maybe you think that talking about it is going to be a bit of a jinx. I would understand that if you're superstitious. A lot of sports fans are superstitious. I'm superstitious. I'll be very superstitious tonight when the Longhorns take on the Sun Devils. I'll sit in one spot in my den, in my living room, and if something good happens, I'm not going to move until, something bad happens. Then I'll move positions. I'm very superstitious when it comes to my teams.
Stop talking.
Yeah, exactly. Or if I've got my hand on my chin and a good play happens, I'm not moving it until the next play, happens that, turns into like a negative gain or something. I'm just, I'm not going to do it. I don't know. Are you have any silly, little things like that going on in your life? I know. I need help.
John, haven't you been wearing the same shirt for every game you've announced this season?
I wondered what that smell was. Is that me? is that you? Oh, goodness. I think this is just part of being a fan. So if you actually did step out and say, I thought that they could do it, or I knew they could do it, or John, I told you they would do this, they would get to this point, I want to hear from you today. I want you to pat yourself on the back, and I want you to tell me why you thought they could do it and where you thought the bump in the road could come and what your opinion of them is now. I have also heard, I was on the EI again this morning, and honestly, I took two more phone calls from people who said 16-0 is the greater achievement, that they think going 16-0 in the regular season is more important than winning the Super Bowl, and we blew them up, absolutely blew them up. I can't understand that reasoning because these guys play to win. What does Herm Edwards say? What does Herm Edwards say?
Hello, you play to win the game.
Thank you, Herm. He was a little slow there. So, you have to ultimately win the Super Bowl, I think, for the season to really mean something. You can have a good season. You could be, say, a 6-10 season, a team, and you can improve to 8-8 or 9-7 or maybe even reach the playoffs and feel really good about your year. I understand that. But ultimately, there's only one winner. Only one team can end the season on a win streak. Well, I guess, okay, if you really stink and you don't make the playoffs and you win your last regular season game, okay, then I guess, yeah, you could end the season on a win streak too.
Everyone sucks but me.
Well, but here's the thing. Only one win is going to count at the end of the year, and that would have to be the Super Bowl. But are you one of those who really believes that 16-0 is the greater accomplishment over the Super Bowl? I'm begging you, please, please explain that to me. If you really believe that, I need you to explain it to me. I want you to spill your guts. I want you to tell me from your heart why you feel like 16-0 is the greater accomplishment. Because I don't think that 16-0 means squat unless you make it 19-0. 16-0 means nothing. That's why this whole, I mean, I'm totally fascinated by the entire, you know, publicity chain that has moved with this whole NFL Network televising the game. And now, of course, the story that broke after we were done with this program yesterday about both NBC and CBS picking up the game. And they're going to do the simulcast now on all of the broadcast networks. And I know we took a few emails here on the program yesterday about people, specifically people in Maine, who were all ticked off because they weren't going to be able to see the Patriots because they didn't have, you know, NFL Network and their cable systems weren't going to make it available for whatever reason. Well, you don't have anything to worry about now. You have nothing to worry about. It'll be on your local CBS or your local NBC affiliate, wherever you may be listening. It will also still be on NFL Network. In fact, what you'll be seeing on your local station will be the NFL Network broadcast. So, yes, you will be privileged to hear Bryant Gumbel call the play-by-play. And now you'll get a chance to understand why everybody has been pulling out their hair over his play-by-play. Get made no mistake about it. He's an excellent studio host. He's a tremendous sports journalist. I love Inside Real Sports on HBO. It's an excellent show, but as a play-by-play guy, no. No. So, but you'll get a chance to hear it. Chris Collinsworth will be doing the color. Adam Schefter, who's been on this program, and he frequents WEEI as well during the course of the week for those local listeners here in the Boston area and in New England. He'll be a part of the pregame and do some of the sideline reporting. So, you know, you'll get a taste for what it's all about. And rest assured now, you're also going to get a 3.5-hour infomercial for NFL Network. There will be commercials out the wazoo, and this is the penance you will be paying for getting this broadcast, simulcast to you. And the NFL is going to try to sell themselves to you, as if they probably needed to, but they are going to try to sell themselves. So you're going to get, you know, all these promos and everything, and you're going to think, geez, man, talk about self-serving. Well, hey, keep in mind, the NFL is going to take full advantage of their generosity, and they're going to impose their will upon you. Why? Because they can. Because they can. The only entity that I can see really getting hammered in this particular deal would be Channel 5 in Boston. I mean, they had bought exclusive rights, local rights to this broadcast back in the summer before anybody thought that this was even, you know, possible. And so now all of a sudden, hello, we had this, and now you're going to let everybody have it? Hardly seems fair, right? Same thing with Channel 9 in New York, WWOR. They had bought the local rights in New York City. So, you know, my guess is that somehow, some way, they get their fee reimbursed. They have to work out some kind of an arrangement there because they're going to allow the local affiliates here and your local CBS and NBC, wherever you're listening to me, they're going to be carrying the game. This is the first time that we've had a multi-network simulcast of a single game in the National Football League since the 1967 AFL-NFL Championship, which ostensibly was Super Bowl I. We just didn't call it the Super Bowl back then. If you're as old as I am, you know that. You remember that. We didn't call it the Super Bowl. It was the NFL-AFL Championship. We didn't start calling it the Super Bowl until Super Bowl III. And then, of course, then we went back and renamed 1 and 2. But that was the last time that you had competing networks carrying the same game, although you had different announce crews back in that game in 1967. You had an announce crew for the CBS feed, and you had a different announce crew for the NBC feed back in that game in 1967 between the, what was that? That was the Chiefs and the Packers. So there's a little history in the making. First time in 40 years that, you know, there's been more than one network carry the same game at the same time. Simulcast, if you will. They're all going to carry, all three entities are going to carry the NFL Network broadcast. NFL Net, CBS, NBC. That's what you get to see. And so I'm sure you're probably happy with that particular arrangement because you're going to get a chance to see a game that could be historical in the making for New England. It could, if you're a Giants fan, be historical for the Giants because, again, what did I just mention a short while ago? The Giants are going to try to become the Miami Dolphins of 1985 to be the only team that knocked off a potential, you know, Super Bowl champion. Although Miami didn't do it in the very last game of the regular season, like the Giants have a chance to do. But, you know, when you refer to the 85 Bears as being one of the great teams of all time, well, the next question is, who beat the Bears? Who gave the Bears their only loss? Miami. And so the Giants have a chance to be remembered in that same vein with the win over the Patriots. So there is a little something to play for. There is a little pride to play for. It's not completely and totally meaningless, although for the most part it is from a Giants perspective. But there is a chance to make a name for yourself. There is a chance to play the spoiler. There is a chance to really pick up tremendous momentum, you know, for their playoff game in Tampa week after this. All right, your thoughts again, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Come on, you've got to predict the score. Yeah, I mean, this is an historical game. This is a record-setting game. A chance to go 16-0 for the first time in NFL history during the regular season. And I've already said, we know what it means in the overall scheme of things. Not much. But nobody's ever done what the Patriots could be doing this Saturday night. So I know you've got some thoughts on the game and how you think it will play out and what you think the Patriots should do about substitutions and how long the veterans should play and the regulars should play and all that kind of stuff. So what's keeping you? Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. That's the number if you want to call. I'm going to take a timeout. We have Bill Belichick. We have Tom Coughlin. We also have Russell Baxter from ESPN, NFL Research Coordinator, coming up in 30 minutes. We also have locker room interviews for you today right inside the playbook.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots ExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
John Rook with you here inside Patriots Playbook for a Thursday. Web radio at Patriots.com is how you reach us on the program. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll hear the conference call with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. In 25 minutes, Russell Baxter, NFL research coordinator for ESPN, will join us as he normally does on Thursdays. We'll take a look at the Pats-Giants matchup. We'll also take a look at what else is happening around the final week, week 17 of the regular season in the National Football League. Is there another game going on? Ha! Hardly seems like it. But there are some games, certainly in the NFC, that have playoff implications on the line. And so we'll talk about some of that as well with Russell coming up. And then we've got Bill Belichick, and we've got Patriots locker room interviews for you on the program. So you want to stay tuned for all of that today. In the meantime, a little bit more about the simulcast going on NFL Network that will be shown on both CBS and NBC this weekend. There was a conference call done, an NFL Network conference call done with Chris Collinsworth and Steve Mariucci, who both work for NFL Network. Mariucci, a former coach, of course, of the 49ers and the Lions, is a part of their like pre-game show and their post-game show. And, of course, Collinsworth does the analysis with Brian Gummel on the actual game broadcast. And so they were asked about, you know, their thoughts on what they thought this would really mean overall for the NFL, for the network itself, what it means for the fans. I just wanted to read you a quick excerpt if you hadn't heard this. Mariucci said, "I just heard of this a few minutes ago. I'm excited that the fans across the country and in many countries can watch the game. It's a game that has a great deal of meaning and importance. And heck, I've got some fans and friends that have called me from Australia and Costa Rica that said, I've watched the NFL Network on TV down here. And so this game is going to be an interesting game for a lot of people across the world, actually. So a lot more Americans now can watch it, at least for this game." That's interesting. Collinsworth says, "I give the NFL a lot of credit on this one. It would have been very easy for the NFL to hold out this bargaining chip, if you will, in the negotiations with the cable companies. And I certainly am not going to get into the details of that because I don't know the details. But I thought it was a major step for the NFL to come forward and say, hey, we understand this is a bit of a unique situation. This is history being made, potentially, and some records being broken, potentially, that are very significant. And for them to step up and to step away from the bargaining table for a moment and to say this is what was in the best interests of the NFL fans as a whole, it is a pretty significant move for them." I thought that's fairly magnanimous, considering both of those guys are paid by NFL Network, but they are taking the big picture view here, which is good. It is appropriate. And I think most, and I've seen a couple of emails that wrote through to PFW earlier and got mentioned by the guys earlier, fans, especially a couple of fans who actually emailed me on this program yesterday and emailed PFW earlier from Maine. Some of them were rather vociferous in their comments. Can't imagine why you wouldn't want to be that way, but that's, I understand, frustrated over not being able to see the game, and now you will be able to see the game. So obviously, I guess you're happy that you're going to get a chance to see the game. If you see this game, if you watch this game, which undoubtedly many of you will, You like what you see from NFL Network. The NFL is going to bank on you liking it enough to say, oh, I got to get this full time. Like I said, you're going to get promoted to death probably throughout the course of the 3.5 hour or so broadcast. Expect it. It's going to happen. Don't get pissed off about it because it's going to happen. This is the penance you will pay for being able to see the game on a competing network. This is like broadcast history here, kids. Not only is this football history, this is broadcast history. This hasn't been done in 40 years, and it's only been done one other time in National Football League history, as I suggested earlier, back in 1967 for the very first NFL-AFL championship game. That's how big this is. That's how big Saturday night is. It's huge. It's everything. So if you watch this game on NFL Network and you actually like what you see from them, how much are you going to pressure your local cable company to pick it up? See, the NFL, I think, ultimately is going to do that. They're going to say, you know what, this could end up working out pretty well for us. Because if enough people like the product that they see on Saturday, this could help us in our battle with the cable companies, the Comcasts of the world, who, for lack of a better reason right now, are refusing to carry. And again, I don't have a stake either side. I have DirecTV at home, so what do I care? I get it anyway. I like my satellite dish. It's great. I love it. I get everything that I want and need off it. It's good for me. It may not be good for you. It's good for me. Will you consider going that direction? Will you call your cable companies? Will you think about going and getting the dish if you like what you see on Saturday? Think about the pressure now on the NFL Network people, the production crew, the talent, everybody. How much pressure do you think is going to be on them to deliver a quality product? Now, if you've never seen an NFL Network broadcast, I can tell you that, you know, technically speaking, it's smooth, it's solid, it's as good as anything you see. I mean, after all, the National Football League has put their name and their stamp and their brand on this, so it's not going to pale by comparison. The graphics are great, production's great, sound is great. I mean, it is top-notch quality. It's not a two-camera, you know, web stream type of thing that you see sometimes. The only thing that, to me, is not as good as it could be, would be the play-by-play. And again, that's with all due respect to Bryant Gumbel, who I think is a fantastic broadcaster. But he's just not a play-by-play guy, and I think you will soon realize that. It would have been perfect if they had, say, been able to get Al Michaels, although he's under contract to NBC, but they could have found somebody who's a little bit more authoritative to, you know, handle the announce duties. Maybe I should have auditioned. Should I have played him for an audition, Jason? What do you think? I don't know. I think I could do
sure you could have.
I could do a better job than Brian.
Big East wouldn't be too happy with you.
No, well, that's all right. Oh, the Big East would be thrilled with me. I'd do that for them anyway. It would be good exposure for the league, right? So, you know, I'd be curious to know what it might take from the NFL Network for you to consider, you know, calling your cable company and getting this sucker put on your system full time. Or, better yet, dropping what you have to go get the satellite dish so you can be ready for next season. Because I'm going to tell you here, kids, make no mistake about it, this is the trend. The NFL wants to own, ultimately, all of its own product. And it may not happen in 10 years, it may not happen in 25 years. But eventually the NFL will own all of its own product because rights fees will dry up and go away as our ever-expanding information universe continues to expand by leaps and bounds. One day the NFL is going to own everything that they put out there. And the only way that you'll be able to get games will probably be to pay for them. It's just going to happen. It is an inevitability. That's my prediction. And this is just a small step. This is a small growing pain in that direction. And if you or I are alive when that happens, you're going to remember this conversation that we had. I remember back on the internet, back in 2007, that crazy guy Rook, he said this was going to happen because it's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. All right, let me get a couple of thoughts in here before we get off to Coach Coughlin. Alex sent this note earlier, And he says, and I'm going to repeat, this may be a repeat for some of you, because I also want to update what we have as far as the Giants are concerned, that all signs are pointing to yes for the Giants starters to face the Patriots. Nicked up players expected to rest on Wednesday, practiced, all said they wanted to play. What do you expect them to say, really? Tom Coughlin did leave himself some wiggle room, but he said the Giants would prepare for and play the game the same as any other week. Coughlin's quote, our objective is to win. That's what we work for. That's what we prepare for. That's what we practice for. And it will be no different this week. Brandon Jacobs, no one in here is screaming, let's rest. I can tell you that. Guys want to play. It's the last regular season game. It's at home. Guys won't want to sit down. Coach Coughlin said, we're going to play to win the game. Whatever we have to do that, that's what we're going to do. No matter what it is, we're going to do it.
You play to win the game.
Thank you, Herm. Herm, a frequent contributor inside the Patriots playbook today. Plexico Burris even said, I came in yesterday and I told the coach I wanted to go out and get a few reps during the week. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Had nothing to do with the game. I just want to get out and do what I can. We're approaching this game to go out and win. This is what the Giants are saying today. I think that's pretty interesting, don't you? Keep your emails coming. Predict the score. If you were one of those that said the Pats would go 16-0, I need to hear from you today. I want to see you pat yourself on the back and tell me what you think of this end result. Is it what you thought it would be at this stage of the game? Right now, though, let's check in with what the Giants have going for themselves. Because as mentioned, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin did meet earlier with members of the Patriots media at Gillette Stadium. And I'm sure that he can bring us up to date on, whatever he chooses to bring us up to date on. He kind of plays things close to the vest like Bill Belichick does. But nevertheless, you got to hear the other side of the story. Here's Tom Coughlin.
How you doing?
I'm doing just peachy.
Sure you are.
And you're doing pretty well yourself.
Well, we're doing all right.
Yeah, you didn't have to wait until the last week, at least. Not like last year.
No, we didn't.
You know, as a matter of fact, I just looking at the, as an aside while I was waiting, you play fabulous on the road.
Yes, we did.
At home, you're not so hot in the last seven games.
No.
Certainly on the road. Why is that? Why? What do you think that is?
Well, the only thing I can tell you there is we, you know, when you go on the road, it's you against the world, and our players have certainly demonstrated that. They've supported one another all year long under those circumstances and found a way to win basically in the fourth quarter in seven of those eight games. And I think that's probably the only reason. I don't think there's anything. We've had some games at home where we haven't played as well as we're capable of playing and haven't gotten it done in the fourth quarter. But on the road, we've seemed to be able to do that.
Last week was a prime example of that scrappiness you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what it was.
At the end.
You know, we're the conditions and being down 14-0 and that kind of thing, but. We battled back like we have done this year, and as I said, the guys have good resolve and good toughness, and this is the finest group of as far as team goes that we've had.
So you have this is the best team you have going into the playoffs the last 3 years.
Well, this is the best. First of all, what I was referring to was the best group of men in terms of their belief in each other and their concept of team. This is the best that we've had here.
Tom, you took over a team 4 years ago that needed to be taken over, and you got a quarterback that joined you at the same time. That's always, oftentimes, the most unique and most successful way to build the relationship with a quarterback and to build a team. Has that been the case? I mean, Eli obviously got the pedigree, but there's always a stop and start aspect to a young quarterback, isn't it?
Well, there is. And, the fact that we've been together through this process is I'm very happy about that, and I still believe very much so that this young man, you know, has the best football in front of him.
What are some of the things he does particularly well? He's grown to be done well in the
well. He's an excellent student of the game. He's a hard worker. He's very tough on himself. He's very honest and open. Accepts full responsibility for anything that doesn't go the way that we want it to go. He's a tough kid. He can withstand the pounding of the media and come right back and with his head high and go back to competitive battle again with the same or even greater resolve. So he's got all the intangibles, all the things you look for. He's done an outstanding job for us throughout his career with the run game, getting us in the right situation, the right run, the right blocking scheme. He's done that throughout. And I believe it's going forward.
It's a tough deal being a quarterback in New York, or being any kind of player in New York, I guess. But to have interception problems, that's probably the thing that's been dwelled upon. Is that not true?
Well, for me, it's about turnovers, and, mm-hmm. and therefore there's too many of them. And, it's not like he doesn't know it, and it's not like he doesn't hear about it, and so on and so forth. But, there's a fine line. You have to keep trying, and you got to keep forcing the envelope, and you got to keep, believing in yourself. And sometimes people believe they can get the ball in where sometimes you really can't. The percentages are so far against you that that's very difficult to do. So, certainly we are not happy about our turnover differential. It's not where you want to be, and it's not how, if I could design it all, it would be. However, it's reality, and we've won 10 games and have to continue to do that. But that would be something if I could, turn around. Now, to be honest, the turnovers that we received the other day, the takeaways were just phenomenal. I mean, they gave us a great shot in the arm, two of which were returned for touchdowns, and that's something that's been lacking and missing. And that certainly felt good.
Coach, you've had some guys who've been banged up on and off throughout the year, Plaxico and Brandon Jacobs. Are they going to play a whole lot Saturday, or are you going to look forward to the first round?
No, I've just you probably have seen the press conference or listening to what I said earlier, and the only way that we know how to do it is to prepare as best we can with the idea of preparation, practice, and then performing on Sunday or Saturday night in this case, do the best we possibly can do and give ourselves the best opportunity to win. That's all we can do, and the players that our players have consistently gone out and played. Plaxico hasn't practiced literally all year long, and yet he gets himself ready to go and studies and, puts himself in a position where on game day he goes out there and plays the entire game. So, I don't expect that'll be any different.
And Manning has to go out and work with him in pregame warm-ups, I guess, for the week, right?
That's all they get.
That's all they get together. That's a unique situation.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Tom, how much does the Patriots' passing game has, numbers-wise, has declined a little bit here down the stretch. Does that give you any, does that hearten you in any way facing them, or do you think that's just the natural?
Well, I don't, I think you take every, all of the games individually, and you look at each one and you determine, how a team won or lost and what the circumstances were. And, you can say all you want about the declining numbers. They've played in some weather as we have, and, that is going to have an effect on your passing game. I don't care who you are, and so certainly you give some credence to it. But I wouldn't, I don't think it's there's any real factor there that tells you that this is a change. I don't see that.
Your starting cornerbacks last week, I would assume Ross and Madison would be in the starting lineup this week. But I mean, I guess you couldn't find two corners who are at such opposite ends of their. The experience.
No, but it's been good. That's a good thing. Sam works really well with the young guys, and you can see how much Sam, his intelligence, his experience, and those things are a great benefit to him as he performs. And hopefully, some of these young guys will learn from him.
Sometimes rookie cornerbacks struggle. We've seen it even with the good ones in their first year. What has Ross done to maybe?
Well, he's had his moments, there's no question about it. I mean, that's part of how you learn. But our hope is that once something affects a guy adversely, that he learns from it and it doesn't happen a second time. And I think that's part of the process of being a rookie and seeing some things the first time.
Coach, does the loss of Shockey affect your offense more on the running game or the passing?
Well, that's well put. I mean, Shockey was an exceptional blocker for us at the tight end position, and the numbers will prove that out over the years that he's that I've been here and he's been the tight end. So it works both ways. You know, he has the vertical speed down the field, and he also was an outstanding blocker at the line of scrimmage. And we have a couple of young kids that played behind him that were brought along slowly, and now they're right in the mix, and they've got to do it.
Tom, it's you're in a unique position that you've already clinched, and you're playing the team that's trying to make history. At the same token, there's an opportunity there. If you guys can whack them, you know, going into the playoffs, got to be a huge confidence builder for the Giants.
That's the whole thing, is that, as I say, there's only one way to play this game. I don't think there's any other way. I've been asked a million times about these kinds of questions. Quite frankly, they don't sit well with me. I don't think that way. I don't have that. Maybe that's something missing in me. But I don't have the. I don't think like that. And I think you prepare, as I said, and you realize all these factors. You have a team that's number one on offense, number four in defense, playing extremely well. Have veterans. Have young players. Have exceptional talent at a lot of different spots, are outstanding on special teams, have good returners, have a quarterback that's playing as well as anybody's ever played it. And so you've got all of these factors going on, and yet we're the 16th team on the schedule for the Patriots, and we're excited about having an opportunity to line up on Saturday night.
Did you ever think that Brandon Jacobs might be too big to be an effective running back in open space and, you know, more than just a plow horse, you know, a guy like that?
No, I think that he demonstrated early on that he's much more than that.
It would seem like that's a pretty tall task to try to tackle somebody who's 6'4", 250. Is he one of the most physical backs you've ever been around?
Well, he thumps you, that's basically his game, and he started out in this league as a short yardage goal line and a change-up, you know, back, and he's worked himself into the position that he's in, and, you know, there are some times that he will run into or at a defender when he should take an alternate course, and there's some times when he takes the alternate course and he should go ahead and drop his shoulder, so he's still learning too. He missed a little time, but he's been back for a couple games in a row, and I think he's starting to get it together again.
It was Ahmed Bradshaw's performance last week that came out of nowhere for a lot of people. Did you see that as him having that capability?
Yeah, we did, and you've kind of seen it over the course of maybe half a season with his kickoff returns, we were anxious to get him in a position where he could contribute. We knew he was going to be a really nice change-up kind of a back for us, and that was good to have him play as much as he did last week. And then, of course, when he added the numbers that he did with not only just the 88-yarder, but when he ran it up inside and moved the pile and did some of the things that people maybe don't think he could do, but he showed again his toughness and that was a welcomed plus for our team.
Tom, as you've looked at the tape over the last couple of weeks, obviously the Patriots have been rushing the ball better. Have you noticed anything different, and specifically with Lawrence Maroney?
No. I think that there are certain formations that they've gotten into that are more run-oriented than others, but they've always used the pass-type formation looks to sneak the run in there on you, on the opponent, and they would continue to do that. I haven't seen anything other than, like the 59-yarder was extremely well blocked. I mean, that was a bang bang touchdown.
Does it make it just that much more difficult? I mean, it's hard enough for the secondary to cover Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Jabbar Gaffney, but then to know that they have a what seems like more of an honest-to-goodness run game. Does that just make it even harder to defend them?
Well, that's the idea. The idea is to, you know, to go ahead and force people to think about one thing and then be able to rely on another when, in fact, they're playing pass, they run, and when they're playing run, you pass. So it's that's part of the game.
Tom Coughlin, the Giants head coach, visiting with members of the Patriots media from earlier at Gillette Stadium. We welcome you back inside Patriots Playbook. John Rook here with you as we get ready for hour number two. Coming up in just a couple of moments, Russell Baxter from ESPN, NFL Research Coordinator, will join us as we look at the Pats and the Giants. We'll look at Week 17 around the entire NFL as we get set for the playoffs to begin. In the meantime, webradio@patriots.com, the email address. That's how you reach us. We want your thoughts on the game. Did you think the Patriots would be 16-0? And if you were one of those, especially from earlier in the year when we were doing this program, of course, did this season turn out the way you thought it would? Did everything happen the way that you thought it would? Or what didn't happen? Or maybe what was a surprise to you in the Patriots' trip through their 16 weeks leading into this final regular season game in which they are on the precipice of history in the NFL? You heard Tom Coughlin talking about trying to, you know, slow down the Patriots. I mean, the Giants don't have a slouch defense. They were seventh overall in the National Football League in yards allowed, under 300 yards per game they give the opposing team. I realize that may not mean much to many of you, but the Giants are not a slouch defense. Not at all. Seventh overall in the league. So they are more than capable of not only putting pressure on the quarterback, but stopping someone. They did have 52 quarterback sacks, six more than the Patriots' defense had. They also had 15 interceptions, very competitive with what the Patriots' defense had, 18 during the course of the regular season. Where the Giants failed in comparison is what they did on offense compared to how the Patriots played on offense. The Giants have been okay at times, but they've been lackluster at others. And I guess you could probably make an argument for the Giants' 10-5 record coming into this being largely due to what they've done defensively and how they've set the tone and the tempo. All right, a couple of emails here before we get off to Russell. James, our friend in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, says, I would send you a picture of me in the new Patriots jacket I got for Christmas. It is really good story surrounding it, but I don't think you'll want to read that long of an email. What makes this worth sending a picture to you is the fact that I have been a big-time Patriots fan for over 32 years, and this is the first Patriots jacket or coat I have ever owned. Okay. He says, needless to say, I'll be practically living in this one. Case in point, my wife told me I was not wearing it to bed last night. So, James, I want you to know I'm looking at the picture of you in this Patriots jacket. By the way, it's a nice-looking jacket, definitely. But you absolutely are exactly what I thought you would look like, because you're one of the frequent contributors here to the show. We know you're a loyal listener to this program and to PFW in Progress, and I have to admit I am not disappointed. I am not surprised. I don't know what that says about me, but you look exactly like I thought you would look. Anyway, enjoy the jacket, all right? Enjoy it. Got another email from Henry in Whitefish, Montana. I'm not sure if this one got read earlier, so if it was, I apologize here. But he said he wanted to talk about the Sony HD ad featuring Peyton Manning, you know, which obviously has been pounded into our head through all these broadcasts. And he says, is it just me, or do they have him walking on a ramp as he enters that room? He has to crane his head to the side and even bend at the waist to get through the doorway entering the room, providing the illusion that he is like 8 feet tall. I know Manning is 6'5", but I'm 6'3", and I've never seen a doorway I couldn't walk through standing up. I mean, obviously Manning needs his ego and wallet stroked by being in 90% of all the commercials that air on Sundays. But do you think he requires that film crews make him into some kind of superhuman? No. No, no, no. And I realize, yes, it's just a commercial. And you're right. It's one of those commercials that do drive fans crazy. They're doing that simply to give Peyton that larger-than-life feel. That's something that's done, I think, by the creative crew that's producing that commercial. And, yes, I do agree. I don't know so much if it's a ramp as it might be just an abnormally small doorway that he walks through. But when you look at that commercial the next time, take a look at that. You're right, he does have to bend over to get there. And he does look a little bit larger than life when he sits down on the couch of those people and watches TV and says, hey, anybody got any chips, you know? Which I think is actually, you know, kind of funny commercial. Brian sends this email. He says, I got a Brady jersey and a Brewski jersey, and I got it a few days early because I managed to get tickets to the Jets game through my boss. She didn't feel up for an ice storm. Okay, so perfect. Excellent. As we were talking about your favorite, you know, your best Christmas gift that you got that might have been sports related over the holiday. It says, regarding what the Pats should do on Saturday, play it like any other game. That's the motto. That's how coach raises them. And it would raise eyebrows inside the locker room to do anything but. Besides, they've had things locked up for a few weeks now, so this game should be no different. They have the bye next week, so regular rest isn't a concern, and injuries are no different than any other week. Heaven forbid you lose somebody, but just like any other time, you ask someone else to step up. The only way to injure the team is to send a message that you, the coach, don't believe. And this logic carries over to the Giants. The reward is far greater than the risks. If the Giants can even keep the game close, they'll gain so much confidence, it could take the team into the playoffs in a nice mental hot streak. And if they'd win, well, they'd justifiably feel like they could beat anyone in the league. If it starts to get ugly early, they still have the option of pulling the starters and saving some face. The team is already banged up a little, so injuries are especially important to consider. But you have to have some consistency in the locker room during the week, and a big part of that is having an attitude that you expect to win. It's an excellent email, Brian, an excellent email. Can't imagine that it's a heck of a lot different than how the Patriots or the Giants feel at this stage of the game. And we will commend our good friend Russell Baxter.
Yoo-hoo! Baxter!
NFL Research Coordinator for ESPN. I guess I could say now Happy New Year, Russell, correct?
I said we're close enough, I believe.
Close enough.
And Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to you as well.
Absolutely. I hope that, I trust the holiday with the newborn child at home was a good one.
Well, she got an early Christmas present a couple weeks ago. She's teething already.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so a couple months early, mm-hmm. you know, but she also knew the Super Bowl was coming up, so she did want to have her chompers in place for, you know, the dip and chips and everything.
Absolutely. Well, you're bringing her up the right way anyway, I can tell.
Well,
you.
Yes. I mean, if she is my baby, she's going to have to be football-oriented. So.
Love that. Love that. What do you think of this? First of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on the NFL, for lack of a better word, allowing the two networks and CBS and NBC to simulcast the NFL Network broadcast.
Well, I think Roger Goodell has proven that, you know, to me he's a kind of a commissioner of the fans. I mean, he's a fans commissioner in the sense that he listens and he reads and reacts to the various things. I think that's why we've seen him take such an active stand in player conduct, I should say league conduct, you know, the shortening of the draft. Let's not forget about that. The draft's going to be a little different next year with time limits and so on. Mm-hmm. That's a reaction to fans. And the reaction to the fans this time around is we want to see this game. So we put it on NBC and CBS and now the NFL Network as well. I know people are, you know, using, say, well, it's kind of like an infomercial and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish the NFL and the cable companies would get this rectified. It's kind of been like a battle between Warren Buffett and Bill Gates.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's like two really big heavyweights here. Neither one, and they, I think both have their issues right and both have their issues wrong. It's like anything else. There's no real bad guy in this. They just need to get it figured out. But meanwhile, we'll all get to see the game, and it is a historic game. And, you know, if the NFL was really, I want to say, because I've heard the word caving in, if they really, really caved in, they would have caved in a month ago when they, in some ways, even though this game coming up is of historic value, the game of importance was the Dallas Green Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really cave into that. So, you know, I think this is more of a totally unique opportunity to see something we've never seen.
How disappointed are you from an ESPN perspective that you weren't included in this?
I don't really kind of look at it that way, you know, and I know I've worked here a long time and so on, but I would imagine there's question marks about why Fox wasn't included as well. I guess they did. I don't know if they had the option or not. I do know that if this game was not on cable, it would have been CBS's game,
mm-hmm.
because the NFC Giants are at home, and that's
right.
How the interconference games work.
Right.
It's the reverse of what you think. So if the NFC team is home, it goes to the team that doesn't broadcast them as much. Hence, if this game was in New England, I'm sure Fox would have been given the option. I'm really not sure how that all worked out and so on. But I think the fact that it's on two networks, you know, both NBC and CBS.
Well, it's on NBC because they have the primetime slot.
Right.
They have the nighttime slot there on Saturdays and Thursdays. So, and actually, yeah. and on Sundays as well. So that's why they were given the opportunity.
Exactly. And listen, if we had the Sunday night package, perhaps that would have been the same option as well.
Sure. Yeah.
But remember, Monday Night Football is not on ABC anymore. It's strictly on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. You know, I would have found it unusual for them to give the option to ABC. And I think it only really worked. Listen, ESPN's not in every home either. We're in most homes. And a lot more homes in the NFL network, but anybody who has ESPN certainly has CBS and NBC. So it does, it's not exactly the same way. I just know that I've got high def on all three channels.
Yeah.
And just for the heck, it's kind of like my house. You know, John, on a personal note, when I was growing up, I grew up with eight brothers and sisters, and all of us shared one bathroom. I live now with my wife and my child, and we have three bathrooms. So I have the option of using them all 3 days, and I have every intent on watching CBS, NBC, and the NFL Network on Saturday night.
All three of them at the same time.
How that all tied together, I don't know how I just managed that, but what the hell.
Absolutely. So which camp do you fall in terms of playing or resting? Should we be surprised by what you have to tell us?
I don't know because, I mean, obviously I never played, but I know the game is played by football players, and I think you should be always playing. I heard what you said earlier about the injury factor and so on. That's right. If someone gets hurt, it does get hurt. I understand not playing your guys who are banged up, but I find it hysterical to listen to the stuff at the end of the year about, well, maybe they're not going to try because they don't want to let this team in the playoffs, or maybe we're not going to go wholeheartedly here and so on. You know, those are usually the same people who are saying my team should lose so I can get a higher draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
I always find those theories funny because more times they come from guys who never played the game than guys who actually play. You know, that did play the game. And my contention is most football players want to play, okay, because they want to win. And I think competitors always want to win. We hear it all the time. Oh, you know, this guy would want to win the game of tiddlywinks. Well, why wouldn't a football game be any different? To me, there is no such thing as, quote-unquote, a meaningless game because something always can come out of it. And we have seen so many instances of the last few years. I'll just throw out some examples. Was it a meaningless game for the 49ers last year when they knocked Denver out of the playoffs in Denver? No, that was the big game for the 49ers
sure.
franchise.
They had
nothing to play for, quote-unquote.
Right.
And yet they went into Denver and beat the Broncos in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers sat their guys against the Buffalo Bills team, who had won six in a row and with a win and a Jets loss were in the playoffs, and the backups beat the Bills in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you know what came out of that game?
Yeah.
There was a backup running back for the Steelers who, I don't believe he started, but he got to play a lot. His name was Willie Parker.
Yeah. That's right.
Lions-Bears. 4-11 Chicago goes into Detroit. Detroit wins. They knock the Rams out of the playoffs, who are defending Super Bowl champions, and they go to the playoffs. All they got to do is win at home against the 4-11 Bears, who kick a field goal at the end of the game and knock the Lions out of the playoffs.
Right.
Happens all the time.
So there is case history here for the Giants, you know, basically sucking it up, trying to do it.
One more out because it shows you, because I'm hearing a lot about the seeding thing, you know, does Indy want to let Tennessee or Cleveland into the playoffs? Like, I can imagine Tony really doesn't care, and so on. But you play hard because you always want to be the higher seed. And what was a better example than last year in the AFC? When the 1 and the 2 went out in the divisional round of the playoffs?
Right.
And who wound up hosting the AFC championship game?
The third seeded
Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. People forget conveniently that the Colts were not the one seed a year ago when they won the Super Bowl.
2-6-3. That's my favorite number for the next couple of weeks. The 2 Patriots, the 6 Steelers, and the 3 Colts are your last 3 Super Bowl champions.
Who was the last number one seed to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think the Patriots were in 2003.
Okay.
They were number one seed. But Patriot fans can tell you 2 of their 3 title games have gone on the road at Pittsburgh.
That's also true.
Okay. I'm just going to keep on throwing out fact that just shows you how wide open this league can become, John. 8 of the last 10 years, the team with the best record in football did not win the Super Bowl.
That's correct.
Last year was the first year in 10 years that both teams hosting the title game won the title game.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time both number one seeds got to the Super Bowl in the same season they were number one seeds. Any guesses?
Last time both number ones got to the Super Bowl?
So in other words, the odds of Dallas and New England beating?
Well, I'm sure that the odds are great, but I'm going to guess this would be have to be not in this decade anyway.
That is correct. It was 1993.
Wow. That
the
long
first
ago.
Year of free agency.
Good grief. That was the last time both ones
both
made it through.
Both number ones from each conference reached the Super Bowl.
Wow. Wow. Was that
welcome to the modern NFL.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So while we've kind of then debunked all this favorite and seed stuff and all that kind of stuff, what do you personally expect that you'll see happen? Will we see the Giants maybe play their starters for a quarter or so, and if the Patriots get a lead, maybe them just kind of give up the ship and say, all right, we've got bigger fish to fry?
Well, I'm going to ask you a theory about what I observed with the Patriots last week, John, because you're a lot closer than I am, who came out like gangbusters last week and really were kind of a little sloppy in the second half.
Kind of?
Last
yeah.
week.
Yeah, that's being kind.
But sloppy, I think, based on the fact that they looked like they were pressing to get some things done at home. It almost looked like they were playing to get some of those records. You know, they have not gotten a scoring record yet. Of course, they're 6 points away from setting a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady hasn't tied the touchdown pass record yet. And Moss has not tied Jerry Rice's touchdown reception record yet. But it almost seemed like they were making a concerted effort, really more in the second half, to get those perhaps in front of the home fans. That's just from the observer's point of view. And I think it lent to some really sloppy football for them. And
But if you listen to them say, Russell, they don't care about those things. If you actually believe what these players have talked about in the locker room, that was not on their minds. However, I happen to think that's a bunch of bull, but nevertheless.
Well, I also know that before the Pittsburgh game, they didn't care what Anthony Smith had to say, and then during the game and after the game, they seemed to have a lot to care.
Yeah, well, they did
about
burn
what Anthony Smith said. And with good reason. I'm not saying they were wrong in feeling that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's always interesting after the fact and so on. But listen, if they want to go for, listen, I've seen a lot of games where guys go for records, so I'm not faulting them for doing that, but I think it seemed like it took them out of their game a little.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their defense was able to rise up a couple times and stop Miami inside the red zone. I think Miami contributed that as well, but they just kind of looked a little off kilter in the second half of the game. I mean, they wound up with 4 turnovers in the game. I point that out because, remember, they only turned over the ball 11 times in their first 4-game games. I think that's what get lost with the Patriots. Not only have they blown teams out for the most part this year, setting the scoring record and so on. They have played very efficient football. They still have only turned over the ball 15 times in 15 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, one turnover game, that's pretty damn good. So it's not like, but it was different. It just seemed like a different atmosphere to it. And for the New York Giants, who are going to play Tampa Bay the following week, they need to play, their quarterback needs to play better. I think they want to maintain what they've got going here with the running game. They need to take better care of the football. And I found it interesting that the Plexico Burris practiced this week, because his real practice during the season, John, has actually taken place in the games. Because he hasn't practiced, the only time that him and Eli have kind of gotten together are on the field during the game. Perhaps there is a reversal of fortune here. Maybe Plexico is practicing this week so he doesn't have to play on Saturday night. I'm not sure. I think the Giants, I agree wholeheartedly with you. Be it win or lose, and depending on how they win or lose, they need to get their confidence up.
Yes, they do.
I know they've played they've made the playoffs the last 2 years, but they got nipped at the wire by Philadelphia, and they got shut out by Carolina the year before.
Mm-hmm.
They also haven't won a playoff game in a couple of years, so this current regime really hasn't won a playoff game. So they need to go in playing efficient, effective. I remember a couple of years ago when the Niners kind of it was the year they won the Super Bowl, I believe. I want to say it was 2000. It was either 2003 or 2004. I want to say it was 2004. And you and I think we were doing the show and so on. And they played the 49ers the last game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they had not played particularly well down the stretch. Remember, they had the sloppy game against Miami. They lost the Monday night game at Miami.
Right.
And even though the game really meant nothing, Bill Belichick played his starters at least the first half against a bad 49ers team. And they didn't play. I mean, I think actually San Francisco jumped out to a 7-0 lead, and it snapped the Patriots' streak of scoring first in a game, I believe, if
mm-hmm.
you remember that.
Yep.
And Belichick wanted them playing effective football, so he kept them in there as well. or as long as they went where he had a good feeling about them.
Right, beyond what we thought they would do, right.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin wants to have a good feeling about his team. I don't know if he does. I think the Patriots, because they're not going to play football for 2 weeks, want to go out here and have a good feeling about their team because they have not played particularly overly well, I think, for the last month. Now, that being said, they've still won all the games, and maybe they didn't play as dominating as they did the first 3 months with the close calls with the Ravens. I mean, they didn't play, and a lot of that had to do with the weather. They didn't play particularly well against the Jets, you know? Other than, like, probably three-quarters of the Pittsburgh game, they had this three-game home stretch, which I don't think they really distinguished themselves very much. That being said, they're still 15-0. But it's not what the final score is. It's how you're executing. And I think Bill Belichick, who's the master of execution, wants his team executing very well, especially coming off. I mean, they're going to have at least 14 days off. At the very least, they'll play a Saturday playoff game. Maybe they play the Sunday playoff game in the divisional. So they'll be off for basically 15 days mm-hmm. before they play as well. So you want to go in there with a good head of steam. Like I said, we have seen the last 2 years the bye week really not mean anything. It didn't mean anything to Pittsburgh, who won three road playoff games. It didn't mean anything to the Colts last year, who had to play 20 games to win the Super Bowl. It's kind of a different day and age as far as the playoffs go. It really becomes, especially in the AFC, become really a crapshoot. But I think Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick want both of their teams executing well before they take those regulars off the field.
Agree 110%, to be honest with you. Before we come back around and talk about maybe who actually wins and loses and all the historical significance again with that game, there are obviously a couple of games in both leagues on Sunday that have playoff implications. In the AFC, clearly if Tennessee is a winner, with the Titans playing at Indianapolis on Sunday night, if Tennessee beats Indy, Tennessee is in. If they lose, that opens the door for Cleveland. Cleveland is at home against San Francisco. Who ultimately sneaks into that sixth spot?
Well, I think it'll probably be – I think it's going to wind up being Cleveland because I don't think Indianapolis is necessarily going to take their foot off the pedal here.
Right.
I think Indianapolis – I'm not saying they're going to play their starters the whole way.
Well, they also have a bye too, so
– Well, they do, but they also slowly – and you saw it last week. Listen – the Colts played, you know, and Houston, I know Houston is not a playoff team, but Houston's a very improved team. If you take Houston, it's funny, John, you take Houston out of the AFC South, which obviously you can't do. You know, they're 7-8, but five of their losses have come in the division. You know, mm-hmm. This is a team that beat Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago, who's already won a division title. This is a team that's much improved. They got, you know, that kid who was supposed to be the worst number one pick of all time, who got to Peyton Manning, is now at the 14 sacks this
mm-hmm,
year.
Right.
Houston, Gary Kubiak is making strides with that team. They won 16 games last year, 7 games this year. That being said, I thought Indianapolis really played well on both sides of the football last week. And they are slowly getting guys back. And I think they want to get time with those guys. You know, I think what gets lost about the Colts is they are indeed the defending Super Bowl champions. And last week accomplished something for only the fourth time in the Super Bowl era. They're the only fourth defending Super Bowl champion to have a better win-loss record than they had the year they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, those three previous teams all repeated as Super Bowl champion. So
interesting. So they've got precedence.
It's an interesting little history indicator.
Sure.
And so on. But I think Tony Dungy's done it every which way. He tried letting his guys sit for almost a month when it came down to it. And, of course, you know, combined with the tragic death of his son and so on, they got themselves out of sync a couple years ago and then lost to the Steelers in the playoffs. Last year they made it harder on themselves, and voila, they wound up winning the Super Bowl. So I think Tony Dungy has seen every which way this can go. And I think, once again, he wants his team executing well before he takes the foot off the pedal.
All right, so in that regard, then, you like Cleveland to sneak in into the playoffs if they beat San Francisco.
Right,
home.
And we're going to have to wait a while because that is, of course, now the Sunday night game.
Correct.
So
we'll know. Tennessee will know that they have to win. That's correct.
Right.
That's right.
Well, the Cleveland game in some way, it really, John, is insignificant whether they win or lose is what it comes down to, because if Tennessee wins, they're in. If both teams loses, They need Tennessee to lose. Even if Cleveland loses, because the tiebreaker is based on conference record.
Mm-hmm.
And since Tennessee, I mean, Cleveland has already done playing its conference schedule because they play San Francisco. They could be no worse than 7-5 in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tennessee loses, they'll be 6-6, and that's how Cleveland gets in.
So Cleveland could still get in.
Yes, they could.
Even if they lose to San Francisco.
Correct.
All right. In the NFC, then, I don't know that it's any more cut and dried, to be honest with you, but I'll let you kind of explain it for those that might not understand. The Washington Redskins control it. They're at home. They wrap up with a 4:15 afternoon game on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Redskins win, they're in. However,
correct.
However, the door is still open for the Minnesota Vikings, who play at Denver at 4:15 on Eastern time on Sunday as well.
Yes, and the door is still slightly cracked, by the way, for the New Orleans Saints,
mm-hmm.
who with a win in the earlier game at Chicago, and then combined with two losses, Washington and Minnesota, they can get in.
They could get in.
But Washington has the clear path. All they need to do is win, and they're in. So
they need
Minnesota
to beat Dallas.
Really Excuse me?
They need to beat Dallas, but I'm wondering if Dallas is thinking, well, because they've got home field advantage through the NFC, I'm wondering if Dallas is thinking about resting anybody.
Well, there's been rumors, you know, listen, T.O. more than likely won't play. That's Terrell Owens for people who don't know. T.R. might not play.
Why would they do this?
Depending on the status of his thumb.
And there's been
little whispers out there that Brad Johnson could actually start. One-time Redskin Brad Johnson, by
mm-hmm,
the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sure about that. What I do know is this, is, you know, the Redskins, just like 2 years ago when they were 5-6 and it looked like all was lost, Joe Gibbs kind of got things together and got them in the playoffs. Not only got them in the playoffs, they beat Tampa Bay in the playoffs before losing to Seattle. Given everything that's happened with the Redskins this year, the Sean Taylor situation, probably the most notable, it would be an incredible story for the Redskins to come, you know, all the way back here and get in the playoffs. And I find there's a correlation, actually, between these Redskins and the Redskins from 2 years ago. It's more of an organizational correlation. You know, it was 2 years ago, and listen, we have seen the wheelings and dealings of Daniel Snyder, who's kind of like a fantasy football league owner, has always been signing and trading for the big names. Well, 2 years ago, they kind of took their foot off the pedal. In terms of spending a lot of money, really kind of played with the guys who they were dealt with. I think that was great for continuity. They got into the playoffs after a slow start. It's kind of been that way this year, this offseason. They didn't do a lot in free agency slash the trade market. Their defense has played a lot better. Listen, they've certainly had their burps. You know, they don't have their starting quarterback right now, but what else is new that Joe Gibbs gets into the postseason with a different quarterback? You know, he's still the only coach to win three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've been a little more stable this year. And I just like the way they're playing, especially in the holes right now. I will not be surprised if they beat Dallas. And I don't think it really has to do with the fact that Dallas may rest some people. Let's go back here. You know, the Cowboys have won 10 straight regular season road games. Their last loss was at Washington last year.
Mm-hmm.
When these teams played earlier this year with a full hand, the Cowboys had to hold on at the end to hold off the Redskins. So this is a really good matchup. This has become a really good matchup in the division once again. Dallas has, you know, won a lot of these, but Washington has more than held its own over the last few seasons and I believe swept the Cowboys a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And so on. So, you know, Washington is... It would not be a fluke and the Cowboys just laying down or not trying in this game. I'll also throw out the fact that the Cowboys have looked a little lackluster since beating the Packers in that Thursday night game.
That is correct.
They squeezed by Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Philadelphia. They didn't look overly impressive last week, although they were a little more balanced against Carolina. At least they ran the ball and so on. So they don't look like they're playing their best football right now. And they need to kind of get jump-started once again. And I think they'll come out here. Listen, you will never convince me that the Dallas Cowboys would not try against the Washington Redskins and vice versa, because this is still a great rivalry.
Still a rivalry in a sense.
It always means something when these two teams played. I don't care the ramifications of free agency and so on. This is still one of the great rivalries in the league. And I think Dallas will try, but Washington might just have – a stronger Will right now.
I know the Cowboys also are 7-0 away from home this year. So that's also, I think, a significant number for a team that purports to be a championship contender, winning on the road, and the Cowboys have done that. So ultimately, though, you think Washington is the winner there that last
time? Yeah,
I
think Washington's going to take care of this.
Okay.
And it'll be close. It'll be probably within a touchdown. You know, since Joe Gibbs got back, about two-thirds of the games he's played, and he hasn't won all of them. He hasn't even won half of them. But more times than not, a game with the involving the Redskins the last three-plus season has been decided basically by 7 points or less.
All right. Fair enough. Now let's bring it back full circle, because you got the Patriots and the Giants on Saturday night. I'm not even going to – well, I don't know. First of all, do the Giants have a chance to win in your
estimation? Sure, they have a chance to win. When you run the football like they did last week,
mm-hmm.
when your offensive line has played as well as their offensive line does, and when you can get 52 sacks in a season, which they have, you have a chance to win, because you're doing it without having great seasons from your skill people. They've done it with a number of running backs. Brandon Jacobs, Reuben Jones, Derek Ward, who's now out for the year. Now Ahmad Bradshaw, who was a seventh-round draft pick. Not Terry Bradshaw, Ahmad Bradshaw, okay, running down the field.
Right.
So when you run like they run, you can do a lot of things. When you pressure the passer like they do, they can do a lot of things. The problem is if they don't pressure the passer, and a lot of people have done a great, you know, some of the better teams have done a good job slowing down the Giants' pass rush, their secondary is extremely vulnerable. They played against the Cowboys twice this year, got a total of 2 sacks. Tony Romo got 4 touchdown passes in each game.
Right.
And when they played the Packers earlier this year, I believe they got 1 sack. And I think Brett Favre threw 4 touchdown passes. They've given up a slew of touchdown passes in their losses and not very many in their wins when they've been able to pressure the quarterback. So given the way the Patriots' offensive line and their 3 Pro Bowlers have played this year, that's the game. That's the matchup right there. Is there anybody in this Giants secondary can cover Randy Moss? I doubt it. I highly doubt it, as a matter of fact, because they don't really have that really big, sturdy, physical cornerback that will bump him around.
Right.
They have more quicker cornerbacks. They also have a rookie back there in Aaron Ross and so on. But if they can get to Brady, and that's easier said than done, then it's a different game. If they can also keep Brady off the field with the running game, then it's a different game. I just kind of think in terms of the regular season, though, seems like destiny is in the Patriots' hand. I think it's going to be a more entertaining game than people think. I definitely think there are going to be some points, because New England's defense has not played overly well. I know they haven't given a lot of points, but they've gotten, you know, their linebackers have kind of gotten exploited up the middle, you know, underneath passing, running up the middle and so on. If, you know, it would be a really interesting game if Jeremy Shockey was around for this
game.
Sure,
I agree.
I can say this, but the big back and Brandon Jacobs, the speed back, that change of pace tandem in the backfield will be a lot for the Patriots to contend with, because anytime you run with that much confidence, it's tough. It would be ironic if the Giants won and Amani Toomer caught the winning touchdown pass. Of course, Amani Toomer was around and caught the winning touchdown pass when the Broncos, who were 13-0, got beat by the Giants.
So he would have
9 years ago.
Yeah, he would have had a hand in a couple of biggies like that. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they have a lot of size. You know, the Giants have a lot of quick but size receivers and so on. But that kind of gets nullified with the Patriots' corners. There'll be interesting if Burris plays. It's one thing to be able to jump over certain people. It's another thing to try to jump over and contend with Asante Samuel. So I still like the Patriots in this matchup. I think the Giants will play well. But there's a determination with the Patriots that they have something to play for. It's just never been done.
Right.
And like I said, the second season is upon us. But I anticipate a very, very entertaining game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants wound up putting anywhere from 24 to 30 points on the board.
Wow.
I just wouldn't, but still losing somewhat comfortably.
All right. Russell, I appreciate it as always. And shall we make a date then for the opening round of the playoffs next Thursday? Would that be okay?
I think I'm in touch with that emotion.
I knew you would be.
It was a great line from St. Elmo's Fire.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm in touch with that emotion. Hey, Happy New Year to you.
You too.
Continued success through as we wrap up the regular season. And I will look forward to breaking down the playoffs with you here in the next couple of weeks.
You got a deal, John.
Thanks, Russell.
You're welcome.
You got it. Russell Baxter, NFL research coordinator for ESPN and their family of networks, visiting with us here inside Patriots Playbook, as he does every Thursday. Let's get some emails in here, shall we? Got some folks that sent us some emails. And then what do we have in the locker room today, Jason? What do we have in the, who do we have in the locker room? Do you have the list there of the guys that we talked to? You're going to read it.
We've got Harrison, Light, Seau, Bruschi, and Kyle Brady.
Excellent. Okay, excellent. So let's get that ready to roll, and then we'll wrap up with Bill today. But we'll try to get inside the locker room here for you so you can hear from the guys themselves and their thoughts on getting ready for the Giants on Saturday. Wes in Richmond, Virginia, sends me the contrarian point of view today. He says, I think the undefeated season is the bigger accomplishment for one reason, the 72 Dolphins. Only one team has ever done it. 40 teams have won a Super Bowl. Wes. This team has already won 3 Super Bowls in a 4-year span, not to diminish what a Super Bowl win would mean to cap the season, but it's not uncharted territory for the Pats. He says the undefeated season is definitely bigger if you're talking about historic accomplishments. Well, the historic accomplishment in an undefeated season means squat if they don't win the Super Bowl, because then they're not undefeated, then, are they? Dave in Abington, Virginia. John, I'm loving the NFL Network. Right now, they're showing all the games in replay. Yeah, we mentioned yesterday they're in the process of 66 and a half hours of Patriots-related programming leading up to the six-hour pregame show leading up to the kickoff at 8:15 Eastern time on Saturday. Yeah, baby. And I just got through watching myself the entire Patriots-Steelers replay on NFL Network. He says, as for watching the game on TV, I will be turning down the sound and listening to Gil and Gino on the Internet. I also think that their choice of announcer stinks. All right. Alejandro says, he's writing us from Bogota, Colombia. Hello, Alejandro. He says, I hope you had a good time during the holidays. I did, and I hope you did as well. Give credit to the NFL Network for the simultaneous broadcast, although it's actually a crafty move to improve their bargaining power over the cable companies, because people will get a taste of what they're missing. But you try to sell a product with Bryant freaking Gumbel? Any chance he gets replaced for marketing matters? Oh, boy. I'll be satisfied if he gets the teams right. I'll be honest, I never thought 16-0 could be achieved, because there's always a pesky divisional game that gets in the way. Before the season, I predicted 12-4 with the Pats losing in Miami. 16-0 means nothing without the Super Bowl victory. But 19-0 is just too beautiful. And we'll talk about this for a long time. And who knows, maybe 20 years from now, you'll appear in the NFL Film Special as one of those who covered the undefeated team back then. Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I like that. My score, Patriots 31, Giants 17. All records will be set in the first half, so the game will have a preseason-like taste, a preseason game with Bryant Gumbel. Good stuff, Alejandro. Happy New Year to you. Amir from Boxborough says, final score, Pats 35-6. He says, John, you coaxed me into it. Here's how I read it. In a classic case of Belichick misdirection, we open the game running. At the end of the first long drive, Brady to Moss, touchdown 1. Defense comes in, chewing nails, pressure on Manning sets the tone. Another long drive, Welker touchdown pass, Brady owns the record. Then the defense comes strong. Vrabel and Thomas share a sack and Manning, punt. Then the next play from scrimmage, long bomb to Moss, he owns the record. Defense becomes hotter than ever. Manning sacked and benched. Brady comes in for a 2-minute drill using Welker and Stallworth. Ends with a record-padding touchdown to Moss. Vrabel in the game as a decoy on first and goal. Wow, good stuff. He says, I disagree with you about the NFL Network. The subscription model of entertainment is a big failure. The most successful media company today is Google, and their whole model is based on advertising. The revenue for The Sopranos with A&E was for free was 10 times as much revenue as on HBO. Likewise, the NFL Network will start leaving money on the table relative to the free broadcast and will be abandoned. I hope you had a great Christmas. I wish you a happy New Year. Thank you, Amir. Well, then we'll agree to disagree on that one, but I think the NFL is definitely into keeping their product with very little doubt, knowing what I know about them. You're right about that in terms of the whole model. I just don't think it's going to work that way with the National Football League. They are the monolithic 800-pound gorilla. This one comes from John, and he says, all right, how about a little fun? Let's hear your opinion. Answer true or false, and yes, some of these are just for laughs. Pats will beat the Giants. Yes, true. Brady will break Manning's record. True. Moss will break Rice's record. True. Welker will break Troy Brown's record. True. Rodney will sack Eli. False. Seymour will sack Eli. True. Ty Warren will sack Eli. False. A-Train will sack Eli. False. Vrabel will sack Eli. True. Broadcast team will bring up Spygate. True. Matt Light will leg whip someone. I'll say false. Stallworth will get a ball thrown to him. True. Asante will pick off Eli. True. Rodney will pick off Eli. He said he didn't get a sack. So I'll say true. He'll get a pick. There will be a kick or punt return for a touchdown. False. Eli will further develop the what, who, when look on his face like his brother. True. Peyton will cry Brady because Brady breaks his record. Nah, false. Eli will cry because that's what he does. True. All right, John, I like the email. Nice. This one comes from John in Fayetteville, Georgia. I wrote to you back in week six asking that if the Giants were in the hunt for a playoff spot, would Belichick rest or play the starters? You kind of said that is way too early to be thinking undefeated, but you were right on the mark when you answered that he would probably play them. I've had faith that they would do it from the start since this is a very special team. The game still has to be played, but 16-0 seems to be the Pats' destiny this season. 19-0 sounds even better. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. All right, here we go. Craig in PA, Pennsylvania. Obviously, going 16-0 is much tougher than winning a Super Bowl. If the Patriots win the game this weekend, they will only be the second team ever to accomplish this. How over half of the franchises in the league have won a Super Bowl. Now more attention is obviously given to the Super Bowl because it's the biggest sporting event each year. However, it is much easier to obtain than an undefeated season. Honestly, how many people who actually understand the game would have even fathomed before this season that it could actually be accomplished again? Do I think going undefeated and losing the Super Bowl would be a big disappointment? Yes. However, I am intelligent enough to understand that the undefeated regular season was a much far greater feat. No doubt it's a greater feat. But it doesn't mean anything unless you have the championship to cap it off. That's my point. Larry sends this from Santa Monica, California, formerly of Acuna, Mass. Assuming the Pats come out to start the game, swinging like they did with Miami, I suspect the Giants will be folding quickly. There will be injury timeouts. Gents players will begin to drift to the tunnels as they soothe their wounds and heal for more important afternoons the following week. Samuel will have a pick. Thomas will have multiple sacks. Pats will shake it up, run the ball down the field, then pass for touchdowns within the 20. One record is tied, one is broken. Brady sits by the fourth quarter. That is more of a hope than a prediction. Castle throws a pick that's returned for a touchdown with under 5 minutes. Pats grind the game to the end with their three running backs taking turns. In the end, they kneel on the 2-yard line, not running it up discernibly. Everyone goes home happy except the 72 Finns crew. Prediction, Pats 31, Giants 14. Bring it on. Can't wait. Neither can I. All right, one more before we get to the locker room here. John, I live in a condo, so satellite is out. Condo rules. I have cable vision, but it does not offer the NFL channel. If they eventually offered it in a premium package, I wouldn't want it because that would mean that I'd also have to rent the cable box. And I already have more than enough boxes and remote controls that I want, and $50 a month for TV is enough. It's my understanding that the hang-up between the NFL and the distribution networks is that the networks want to only offer the NFL channel in premium packages, and the NFL wants the network to be available to everyone. I think that's pretty much it. The distribution networks argue that it would cost about 70 cents a subscriber to add it. They don't want to charge everyone for something only football fans would want. Well, they've already done that. I currently pay for over 40 channels that I don't want and never watch, and I would be happy to trade them all for the NFL and a sports channel. It's from our friend Diane in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Thanks, Diane. I appreciate it. And by the way, you're going to get the game anyway in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And by the way, I might also add, for local fans in New England, okay, bit of a scoop for you here, kids. The it's the Patriots All Access show, right? The pregame show that's normally seen on a lot of the preseason affiliates and the network affiliates in New England. It was only going to be on Channel 5, I guess, in Boston, leading up to the kickoff of the game. But now, as I understand, the CBS affiliate in Springfield, Mass., which is WWLP, which is Channel 22, is that right? Yeah, Channel 22 in Springfield, and WPRI Channel 12 in Providence. The one-hour special, Patriots All Access,
will be live
from Giant Stadium on Channel 5 in Boston, on Channel 22 in Springfield, and on Channel 12 in Providence beginning at 7 p.m. on Saturday night. So you get a little bit of a bonus if you're in New England. You're going to get the live Patriots All Access program in all three markets in New England. So there you go. I thought that would probably make you happy. All right, let's get inside the locker room. Jason, you want to run down again who the interviews are real quick? You got the...
It is Harrison, Light, Seo, Bruschi, and Kyle Brady.
All right, let her rip. Let's get in the locker room.
Rodney Harrison.
Hey, Rodney. Just one quick question. How does it feel going into week 17 undefeated?
Just looking forward to this week. I mean...
really doesn't matter what our record is, just about how we go out there and just play on Sunday. I mean, play on Saturday. So it's about executing, doing all the things right, and coming out with a victory.
Hey, Rodney, I know you guys aren't into individual achievements, but there is a unit achievement you guys could accomplish this week in being the number one scoring defense. Is that even on a thought for this defense?
I really didn't. I mean, we haven't really put any emphasis on it.
Yeah.
It's just going out there, getting better as a unit, building on the red zone defense, making sure we become better tacklers, making sure that our communication is there, and just building on that. And whatever the numbers are at the end of the season, they are.
I know it's all about being out on the field and playing, but it seems like a large contingent of Patriots fans will be traveling this weekend. Does that help having the fans on your side and the opposing team stadium and all?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely appreciate the support of the fans, but you know, we hear them. We definitely hear them when we're on the road. We always have a lot of support on the road, but at the end of the day, the game is won or lost between the lines. Whether we're at home, whether we're away, we definitely appreciate the fans, but we still have to go out there and play football and make plays.
A lot of guys are
such a veteran defense. How much has that helped you guys throughout the course of the season? Old-timers, you guys have been around a little bit and understand what to do in each play.
Well, it's just, you know, experience. You know, we have a lot of knowledge. We know how to play the game, and a lot of mistakes that we made early in our careers we're able to avoid, and we can just trust one another. You know, a lot of times as you get older, you may not have the speed or whatever, but you still got experience. You still have the knowledge, the anticipation, and that's what we have.
A lot of guys we talked to commented that when they watch the video on the Giants, they see a really physical team.
Yeah.
Is that what you see as well?
Definitely a big physical offensive line, a team that can definitely run the ball, very, very big backs that are, you know, looking to just pound the ball, and as well as they're capable of making plays down the field. So this is probably one of our biggest challenges yet, to be able to come in there, stop the run, and stand up to those guys.
Assuming Brandon Jacobs plays and plays, he gets his usual a lot of carries. You're known to be a big hitter. He's obviously known to be one of the more physical runners in the NFL. You looking forward to that meeting?
He's 270 pounds, so that's like a Ferrari meeting a Mack truck. So we'll see what happens. We're excited about playing this week, and you know, we have a lot of brushing up to do on our game plan, but at the end of the day, it comes down to making plays and who wants it more.
Will you tackle him like any other back?
I don't see why anything should change now.
Rodney, what do you
Would you be role? Afraid to tackle him?
If I was a Ferrari and he was a Mack truck.
Well, you're a little guy, so it doesn't matter.
Rodney, obviously this is an unprecedented game in terms of viewers, and you mentioned the fans earlier. It's going to be on all three networks. It's going to be on the NFL Network. What do you think of all of this attention and effort being put on getting as many eyes in front of this game as possible?
I mean, I don't really think much of it, to be honest with you. We've been on nationally televised games for a while now, and it's really no big deal, you know, for us in this locker room. It's just something for the media to talk about and for the fans to be able to see. But, you know, for all those fans that, you know, either don't have cable or whatever, I mean, it's something for them to get opportunity to see us play. But we're focused on what we have to do and how we go out, how well we go out there and play, not about all the TV and all the everything that's going on behind that.
Excuse me? Catch Coach Belichick in the Santa suit on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
No.
At light.
We've spoken to so far say that on film the Giants look very physical. Is that what you see as well? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think they're a really physical defense. You know, I think, you know, with the guys they have up front and the style in which they play, you know, they like to get after you and blitz you a lot. And, you know, they got guys up front that are very, you know, adept in their pass rush skills. And, you know, it's going to be a physical game, I'm sure.
We've been talking about 16-0 for quite a while, we in the media, fans and whatnot. You guys are always one game at a time. This week, though, the potential for a perfect season converges with one game at a time. What are your thoughts on that?
We're going to get ready to play this game, buddy. No worries about that. We'll take this one as it comes, like we have all season, you know, and then we'll sort it all out after that. All right.
Matt, a lot of eyes obviously going to be on this game. The NFL has done everything it can to get as many people watching this as possible. You guys have been in a lot of big games. What are your thoughts on the whole nation watching this game?
Well, I mean, I've never really taken that into consideration, to be quite honest with you. You know, I mean, you know, when the ball snapped, you know, and we're playing out there, and everything else kind of disappears, and it's a game like any other game. You know, it comes down to, you know, what we do and how we execute, and I don't think how many people are watching will have much of an effect on that.
Did you hear what, Tom said yesterday in regards to the Giants' defensive ends? Did you catch that soundbite by any chance?
I didn't, no.
He said he wouldn't mind. You know, the Giants are debating whether or not they're going to be playing all of their regulars for the whole game because their playoff situation is completely locked in. So Tom suggested that OC and Strahan take the day off. He said Coughlin should rest those guys.
Well, maybe they'll take his advice. I don't know. I wouldn't mind that either, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they're going to have to play those guys at some point, you know, and I'm sure it's going to be a situation where they're going to prepare for us to play our guys and we're going to prepare, you know, to play those guys, and we'll see how it all unfolds. All right, guys.
Junior Sal.
Two words that come to mind with the Giants that have been talked about a lot, tough and physical. Your thoughts on how tough and physical this Giants is?
Well, the Giants, they're 10-5, you know, and the history and tradition there has always been tough, you know, and so there's no change this year. They have a great squad, and, you know, we got our hands full. So we look forward to a great contest coming on Sunday or Saturday.
Jimmy, how different a team are they without Jeremy Shockey?
You know, we're not going to focus on that. They're a great team, and, you know, they run the ball very well. They have a great offensive line that play well together. And surprisingly enough, they've been able to stay healthy. And, you know, whenever you have a group of players that have been together for, you know, 16 games, obviously, you know, the rapport there is there. So we got to go out there and defeat them.
Is this a good team to be playing going into the playoffs? The type of team you're going to see a lot in the playoffs, physical, and they're, you know, try to ball for as much as possible.
This is a challenging team, you know, and it's been challenging all year. 10-5 is no joke in the National Football League. They're a playoff team. We all know that. And we look forward to going out there and, you know, showing what we can do, and hopefully we can pull out a win. There's a lot of goals out there that, you know, we can achieve by going out there and doing what we need to do. And, you know, right now all we can do is just wait and figure out what's going to happen on Saturday and go from there. But, you know, there's a lot in the air. There's a lot of marketing. There's a lot of publicity going on with this game. But, you know, when you come into our workplace, it's the same thing every day. It's work. It's been playing pretty well, especially in the red zone. You know, hopefully we can stay healthy and continue on and keep growing. You know, and what you try to do in the 16-game period, you try to just grow. And your maturation system, hopefully it can be something where you can be proud of at the end of the day. And hopefully that'll take place come Saturday. All right. All right, guys.
Teddy Bruschi.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing
good.
How's it feel going into week 17, you know, undefeated, looking to the playoffs? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings?
Well, we're not looking at the playoffs right now, and we're not really thinking about being undefeated. You know, there's a simple way how we got here, and that's focusing on the opponent that we have in front of us, and this week we've got a formidable one in the New York Giants.
I know you guys play big games, Super Bowl, stuff like that. This is on all three networks. Does this do anything? Just get more fans involved? Or
that it's on three stations?
Yeah.
No.
But it's going to feel good that the fans they're all involved in that.
I feel happy for them. Yes. I know we have a lot of fans all over the country because when we go to visiting stadiums, we travel well. And so I know a lot of them that wouldn't be able to get this now can get it, and I'm happy for them that they can see it. It should be a good game.
What do you see as one of the biggest challenges that you're facing against the Giants?
I think defensively is they're a great running team. I mean, they had a lot of success last week versus Buffalo, and they've got three very capable backs, starting with Jacobs. I mean, the guy's big, strong, and he's tough to bring down. And the offensive line is good at getting on hat on a hat, and so he can hit those holes, run through arm tackles. We've really got to do a great job of wrapping him up.
Is he an anomaly?
What's that? I think so. To see somebody that big and that strong and someone that's able to pull away like he does. I mean, we watch on film how there are some guys that we respect out there on the defensive side of the ball that aren't able to run him down. So that's a great indicator for us how much speed he actually has.
I was reading transcripts you got on the
called the New York media yesterday. I believe you were saying that Coach has been tougher this year than any other year on you guys.
Yeah, I think Coach Belichick has had great focus this year. I think if there's been any year where players or coaches alike can maybe lose focus, it's when you have a lot of success. I mean, when you get to 12-0, 13-0, 14-0, 15-0, I mean, it's easy to maybe get complacent, but I haven't seen any of that in Coach this year. I haven't seen any of that in his staff, and I think that's a credit to them on just putting their nose down and just focus on what's next and really transcending that message to us so we can get it off in this locker room also. I think the experience helps in terms of focus because we do have some young guys in here and we've had some success this year. So starting with the veterans, that we can relay the message of just focusing on what's next at the task at hand and not worry about the success that we've had, because had is past tense and we want to continue to have it.
Teddy, how do you feel the defense has evolved over the course?
I think every week We've shown progress. I think early in the year, but then we lost Rosie, so we had to do a little bit of reshuffling there, linebacker wise, conceptually wise, and defensive wise. I mean, with Rosie out, one of your best pass rushers, then you ask Adelius to go play a new position. You have to get used to that. But what I'm really encouraged about is the production that we've shown in the red zone the last few weeks, that we've been able to move up from the bottom. I think that's something that we're happy about, and have some fourth down stops. I mean, Pittsburgh last week can really boost our confidence.
During your championship years, you were particularly good in the red zone, so that hasn't bode well for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line stat. I mean, do you let them score? I mean, they can get down inside the 25, they can get down inside your 10, but do you let them in? And then do you let them in your end zone? And then do you stop them totally, or do you just hold them to a field goal attempt? I mean, those are goals that we have and what we're thinking about when we're down there.
Kyle Brady.
Obviously has his roots in defense, so there's some differences.
Doing?
Good. Yeah, coming along real well, actually. Coming along. Progressing, yeah. Did you say progressing?
I did say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely
that
progressing.
Safe word? Can you
yeah.
Use that word?
I can use that word. Definitely progressing. Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy going back and playing in that stadium?
Yeah, there's some bad memories, there's some good. My first couple of years there were pretty rough. We were 4-28 my first 2 years there, and the last couple were good. Things really got turned around. We went to an AFC Championship game my last year with the Jets, but obviously we're not going to play the Jets, but it's the same stadium. And so, yeah, it's got a lot of memories.
I think how am I touching this? How tough is their defensive line to
mm-hmm.
What threat do they get opposed
this week? Oh, they're probably one of the best front sevens in the NFL. The down guys are really good, tough players. They're strong, quick, use their hands well. One of the best pass rushing, one of the best groups of pass rushers in this league. So, yeah, they present a challenge to everybody they play. Not necessarily. I mean, not things that other teams don't do. Just they do it better.
All the eyes are going to be on this game Saturday night. What do you think of everything that the NFL has done to try to make this accessible to as many fans as possible?
I think it's a good thing. I mean, if there's people out there and the demand is high for to view this team and to see the game, then that's great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of all the regular season games you play at your personal level, can you recall anything that was as meaningful to you as this one?
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you're a team that's in a playoff hunt and you're playing in a regular season game that has playoff implications, then those games certainly have a lot of meaning. Mm-hmm.
Kyle Brady again, tight end for the Patriots, may or may not be on the field on Saturday night. We won't know until we actually see the teams line up. I'd say probably not, but then again, who knows? You got a chance to hear some of the players and their thoughts from the locker room from earlier today here at Gillette Stadium leading up to the Giants game on Saturday. The practice injury report is out for today. The Patriots did not have Kyle Brady, Kyle Echol, or Nick Kazier participating today. limited participation in practice today. Willie Andrews, Tom Brady, Rodney Harrison, Stephen Neal, who's been out injured, you might recall, Benjamin Watson as well, and Billy Yates. The Giants today did not have Ahmad Bradshaw, Kevin Dockery, or Sonoris Moss practice. Limited participation in practice came from Plexico Burress and Manny Wright. Brandon Jacobs did partake fully in practice today for the New York Giants. So there's the update on the injury report. I want to kind of leave you today with this bit, because I don't know if you've seen it or not yet. In fact, I think it's probably hitting the mail stands and the mail slots of America and the newsstands as we speak. Coach Belichick, you might have heard in the locker room interviews there just a couple of moments ago, is on the cover of this week's Sports Illustrated, dressed up as Santa Claus. He didn't do this. Sports Illustrated's art department did this. So I thought maybe you might want to hear what Coach Belichick thought about Sports Illustrated dressing him thusly. Is it there? Is it coming? Best laid plans of mice and men. Don't you just love digital tape? It can screw up just as much as the regular stuff. Okay. You let me know. Will it come up? It's not going to come up. Jason, what the hell does the transcript say then? Read the transcript.
On a scale of 1 to 16, how would you rate this week's Sports Illustrated cover? Well, you know, being associated with Santa Claus, there's a lot worse associations to have. I'll take it. When you're a kid, sometimes you dream about being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's not actually the one I pictured, but it's pretty funny. Whatever sells. Was that the picture you imagined? It wasn't that one, but like I said, I'll take it.
Okay, there you go. Like I said, we tried, didn't we? It's the way it works sometimes in this business. Thanks to everybody who took part this week. I hope you had a wonderful holiday week. I hope everyone who's within earshot of this program has a safe and very happy and healthy new year in 2008. I hope it's a great football weekend for you, which, of course, would mean, I think, probably a Patriots victory on Saturday night. Does it not? Would it not? We will be back next Wednesday on the program because it will be the day off with the holiday, New Year's Day being on Tuesday. Patriots Monday programming will be on Monday, on New Year's Eve. Then we're off for the holiday on Tuesday. So we'll have Patriots Playbook and PFW come back next Wednesday for you here on Patriots.com Radio. And we'll spend those 2 days next week looking at, not only the bye week issues for the Patriots and sort of recapping the game with the Giants, but also looking ahead to the wild card weekend as the second season officially opens up in the NFL with the playoffs. So we will be here with Patriots Playbook programming next Wednesday. Have a happy, happy new year. Thanks to Jason. I'm John. We'll see you next week.